Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. We've read it, and I'm going to read it again. And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as they touched it, they were made well. So in the beginning of this, we looked at the loaves and fishes, and we learned that chapter 14 through 17 has some themes that we have not seen yet. And those themes are Jesus is doing more and more private instruction because of the hostility against him. The disciples were struggling still with Jesus' teaching. And matter of fact, over into the next chapter, they're going to continue to struggle because they don't yet understand that he came to die and to pay the penalty on a cross for our sins. They were going to struggle with that. And so we also see in chapter 14 that the disciples began to grow in their faith. And that's what's expected all of us, for us to not to be holy or righteous or anything like that, but to be growing in our faith. And we also began to look at last week, and we're going to wrap it up today, the nature of saving faith. What type of faith saves? So we're going to look at that. So he fed 5,000. After that, he sent the disciples away late at night. And they left going across the Sea of Galilee that should have taken them 2.5 or 3 hours. And it turned into an all-night episode of crossing the sea and a storm. Jesus went walking to them on the water. And so we pick up now this morning at the end of an all-night storm and paddling. These are some tired folks. So they land at Gennesaret, and they land at a spot that was familiar with Jesus. He had done some things there before, like heal the woman with an issue of blood. So I want you to see how these people reacted when they realized that Jesus was among them. Okay? I think that's our lesson to learn today. How did these people react? And so the title of the sermon is, and brought to him all who were sick. The world's in a mess. And the world doesn't have any answers to the mess. Only we do. And that's Christ. And that's bringing people to Christ. And all that goes with that. And the blessings that come out of that. And the understanding that comes out of that. I want you to notice this morning the faith that these people had in Jesus. They brought everybody to him, and it didn't matter what their ailment was. They had faith that he could heal them. They had great faith. I want you to also know that they loved their neighbors enough to tell his neighbors about Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but this is where in my study it began to wear me out. And I think it ought to begin to wear us all out this morning if we're not on a regular basis trying to take Jesus to those that do not know Jesus or have no interest in Jesus. Should we not? They brought all the sick to him. Now, I want to tell you that their faith implies that they know the power of Jesus. Do we know the power of Jesus today? Resurrection power, from resurrected the dead from being dead to life, and the resurrection power that he had to be resurrected by Almighty God. We have that kind of power, and we've got to know that there's no illness, there's no spiritual illness that Jesus can't heal. And they also know that when they bring people to him, listen to me carefully now, and I think we need to believe this too, when they bring people to him, we've got to believe for those people that this Jesus has the goodness to save them. So what's our place? Go get them and beg Jesus to save them. I want you to know from this teaching that Jesus is master of both the land and the sea, the people and all of his creation. I want you to know that Jesus heals diseases and calms storms. He still does that today. And in that last song, we take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, the thing about troubles and storms and things like that, it's not that we just go to him to ask him to fix the storm. It's this. It's the fact that we go and commune with him. Now, that's when the blessings come. The blessings come not just going and asking, but the blessing comes in going and bowing the knee and bowing down for him and praying for him and communing him and worshiping him and asking him to do especially spiritual things that we need. So wherever he went, you know what Jesus was doing? Good. So today, I want you to see the great faith of the people, especially the men of this place. The fruit and success of people coming to Jesus. Listen, there's great fruit and there's great success when we bring people to Jesus and people come to Jesus. So let's look a little closer at the scripture. Matthew 14, 34 through 36. And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. They started out for Bethsaida. And while they were crossing the sea in the storm, they ended up quite a little distance to the south at a place called Gennesaret. And I want you to look at that next part in verse 35. And when the men of that place recognized him, they saw that it was Jesus. Now look at this. They sent around to all that region. They dispersed people to all corners of that area. And go and bring those who are sick here. The healer is here. There's no hope for the lost and dying world other than Jesus. There's no hope for an eternity in heaven and other than Jesus. I pray we're not like the world. I got a letter from prison. I opened it up this morning. I want to tell you, I think we're so complacent because we've began to believe what the world believes. That God is so good that everybody's going to heaven. Listen to me. If that's not the case, why are we so complacent in about grabbing up and snatching up every lost person that we can get to know and bringing them to Jesus? What would keep us from doing that? Especially our family. I believe we've been lulled into thinking what the world thinks. Everybody's going to heaven. They sent all around to that region and brought to him all who were sick. And while they were bringing him, at the same time they were imploring him. They were begging him to heal them. That's another thing that we've got to do. Listen, I can't save anybody, but I can bring them to hear preaching and to be associated with Christian people, share the gospel with them, and beg God to save them. That's what we got to do, because we can't save. So just this week in having to deal with this, and I meant to bring it, I think I wrote down, just in my thinking, I wrote down 9 couples that are not churched. I bet you can go home and sit down, and in 5 minutes, you can think up 5 couples, 5 people, that are either family or neighbors or friends that are not churched and probably not following Jesus. Why wouldn't we do that? And write it down and start praying for an opportunity to take Jesus to them. I want you to look at this next part. That they might only touch the fringe of his garment. Now look, there wasn't anything special in touching just the hem or the hem down here of his garment. What was special was that by touching the fringe of his garment, they were saying, we've got faith in this one to heal us. I want you to look at that next part. Why wouldn't we bring people to Jesus? Because all that we bring to Jesus, and as many as touched it were made well, all that we bring to Jesus, if they'll just have faith and believe and repent and submit their lives to Jesus, He will heal them all. I want us to look, first of all, at the great faith of the men of that place. By their going and bringing, they expressed their own faith in Jesus. Maybe we don't have enough faith in Jesus that He's the healer, especially the spiritual healer. By their going and bringing, they expressed faith in the person of Jesus Christ. So it says that they had knowledge of Him. How are people brought to faith? They come to have a knowledge of their lostness, their need for a Savior, and they come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as that Savior, an understanding that He is the one that came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, was resurrected, and they put their faith and hope in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the knowledge that they need. And they brought others to Christ. They sent out into all the country. Now here's what I know about me. And I think I can say we. We that know Jesus should talk more to the Lord about those who are sick. We who know Jesus ought to be telling Jesus about those other folks that we know that need Jesus. Because I want you to go back, it said they implored Him. What do we do when we pray to God to save people's souls? And we do it with passion. We're imploring Him to save. We know that we should talk to those who do not know Him. We have the knowledge of that. We should be talking to those that show no interest in the things of God. Listen to me. Unchurched folks may believe in God, but you can't count them saved. I want to tell you, a saved folk will have some interest in the things of God. It usually starts with the church. It will start with His Word. And we know we should always be looking for an opportunity to witness folks, to witness to folks, shouldn't we? Every time we come in contact with someone, we ought to be praying and thinking about how I can be a witness to them. Listen, the simplest thing in the world you could do is to pick up some of this good literature back here, put it in somebody's hand, and invite them to church. John 1:10 says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. Listen. Listen to me. I don't know what percent of American people, if you ask them, do you believe in God? I don't know. I bet 90%. I believe in God. They don't know Him. They don't know the God they're talking about, and they surely don't know Christ who came in the flesh to do what we could not do for ourselves. know him. Is the light coming on with anybody? They did not know him. He came to his own people. He did all of these miracles, yet his own people did not know him. Knowing Christ is a supernatural work of God. And you need to be imploring that God do that supernatural work that they may get to know him. We ought to make known our love for Christ and the hope that we have in him. They ought to know without a doubt from being around of us, watching our actions, listening to us, listen to me, that we know and love Jesus Christ. Is your life outside this church convincing anybody? Is my life outside this church convincing anybody that I love Jesus? So, what was the business of these people with Christ? Well, their business was to be taught by him and to have all the sick healed. That was their business. They were following Jesus around that he might teach them to be more like him. And in the process, he was doing miracles and what? Healing people. They brought to him all that were diseased. They came that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And they applied themselves to him. How do we apply ourselves to Jesus? Listen carefully. They sought him passionately. So how do we every day apply ourselves to Jesus? We get on our knees. We surrender to him. We read his word. We pray to him. We get up and live for him. That's how we apply ourselves to Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me. Listen, you don't know how many times I've said this. Praise the Lord. I think the jails are going to open up here in the next few days. So I get to go back to the jails and share the gospel on a regular basis. But listen to me. Jeremiah 29:13, he's not kidding. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with just a little bit of your heart. No, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I would also say to us that are bringing those to Jesus, we need to be praying with all our heart that he'll save them. The greatest favors and blessings are obtained from Christ by prayer. Matthew 7:7-8, asking will be given to you, seeking you'll find, knocking the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. That's talking about spiritual things. How do we get spiritual favors and blessings from God? By prayer. No other way. They came to him with great humility. They came to him. Listen, we've got to come to him knowing who he is and believing that he has all sufficiency to meet our spiritual need. How much sufficient did he have? They just had to barely touch the hem of his garment. That's just signifying that there was so much sufficiency about him. They just had to get near him and have faith. Number two, I want you to see the fruit and success of their coming to Christ. It was not in vain that they implored him. It was not in vain that they brought all the sick folks to him. Was it? Christ cures, listen to me, are perfect cures. I want to tell you when he heals the physically ill, listen, when he gets around to healing the physical ills of people in heaven, it will be a perfect healing. It won't be halfway. Those he heals perfectly. And I want you to know that if he started a good work in folks, guess what? The scripture says he's going to finish it. And you know what we need to be praying when we bring somebody to Jesus and they show some indication that they're beginning to follow Jesus? We just need to pray, God, don't stop, complete it. There's an abundance of healing virtue in Christ for all that apply themselves to him. Look at Psalms 133:2. How sufficient is it? It's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, and running down on the collar of his robes. It's sufficient for all that we have. All of Christ's institution is replenished with the overflowing fullness of grace. How does a preacher get up and preach every Sunday for 27 years or 50 years or 70 years? Because every Sunday his grace is sufficient. So it is for our life. Listen, when we go to bed tonight, we're going to get up in the morning. We ought to get up thinking and believing when we go to bed that when we get up, his grace is going to be new. His mercy is going to be new every morning. No matter what comes, no matter what trials we go to bed in, no matter the trouble that we're in when we go to bed, we've got to believe that his grace and mercy is sufficient every morning, especially for those who seek after him. This healing virtue that is in Christ is put forth for the benefits of those that by a true and lively faith touch him. Who is this to? Who is this for? Those who reach out in faith and take hold of Jesus. That's who it's for, with no exceptions. Now, we know where Christ is. He's in heaven. But you know what? We have his Word, don't we? Don't we have his Word? He is in heaven, but we have his Word. So when we mix our faith with the Word and apply it to ourselves, depend upon it, and submit to its influences and commands, you know what we're doing as God's people? We're touching Jesus. Let me say it again. This is his Word. So when we mix the faith that we have in what God can do with the promises of his Word, that might be a problem. Spirit and what? Come on now, y'all tell me. By the Spirit and by the Word. The truth. You know what? We have a hard time praying rightly without some knowledge of the truth. So when we mix faith with the Word, apply it to ourselves, apply it to others, depend upon it, submit to its influences and commands, we are putting our faith in Christ that he can do in our lives and other lives what we ask him to do, what needs to be done. It is by faith that we're made whole. Amen? No other way. Now I want you to know, these spiritual cures are on such easy terms that we can surely say that he heals freely. We don't do anything to earn his healing. Faith, trust, hope, confidence in Christ. He heals freely. I want you to also know that if our souls or the souls of lost die of their wounds, y'all listening closely? It's not the great physician's problem. If people die in their sins, if they're not healed spiritually, it's not a problem with God. It's a problem with a person. I don't think y'all believe that. If people come with enough faith to touch Him for their salvation, for their spiritual well-being, do we not believe He will and can? So, if it doesn't happen, it's not the physician's problem. It's the person wasn't willing to touch Him by faith, to put their hope and trust and confidence in Him. I want you to know it's not for the lack of skill or will in God. He can heal us. He can save the lost. But the problem are with us in imploring and bringing the lost to Him and their willingness to reach out and take hold of Him and to put their faith and hope and trust and confidence in Him. He would have healed us. But some people will not be healed. They won't come to Him. So I want you to know that He would have healed us. But for those who don't want to be healed, if they don't want to put their faith in Christ, their blood will lie upon their own heads. Not even on ours if we've done our part to pray for them and bring them to Christ. I want to look again closely at the nature of true faith, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the nature of true faith, what's it look like? We're not going to take long, so I want you to listen. I want you to listen quickly but carefully. The nature of true faith is this. We give our lives to Him now, and we trust our lives to Him for eternity. That's faith. We trust our life and our needs to Him now, especially for forgiveness and for salvation, for regeneration. And once we do that, we're not only trusting our lives to Him now, but we're trusting Him for our what? Eternity. True faith is not merely knowing and having knowledge of who Jesus is and what He's done. That's not true faith. That's faith. That's a part of faith, having knowledge of and knowing. True faith is not just believing He and His work can save us from our sins. Not only do we know who He is and what He can do, but we actually believe He can do what the Scripture says He can do. All right? A lot of people may even know that. But we go a step further. True faith is daily giving our lives to Him now and trusting our lives now in eternity to Him. It is submitting to Him and to His lordship of our life now and forever. Listen, true faith submits to God. Exodus 22 and 3. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You believe and feel as if you really know and understand the Scripture when it comes to the gospel. Many of you could run it right by us. But let me ask you, have you committed your life today and in eternity to Him? That's what a saved person will do. I read it every day. I think I read it this morning. An unsaved person who does not give their lives to the Lord now and live for Him now, they're going to get to heaven and want out of there. Now listen to me. You know why? He's on the throne. They haven't submitted to Him here. Come on now. Why in the world would we think if a person has not submitted their lives to Christ here, all of a sudden heaven they're going to? it's absolutely asinine to think that you can live life with no interest in the things of God and all of a sudden cross the River Jordan and end up in the Promised Land. Huh? Let me ask you, is there any evidence that my life, your life, looks like you belong to Christ? You belong to somebody. The devil? Yourself? Somebody's the Lord of your life. You know what that scripture I just read? It can be no one except Christ. If anyone owns your life, is the Lord of your life, including yourself and the devil, or the world, if it's anybody other than Christ, you're not headed for heaven. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That's what you're confessing. Not Caesar, not yourself, not the devil. Jesus is my Lord. That's the language of that scripture. That scripture is full of this. Submission to Christ. And I can tell you why it's not preached. Because I promise you, everybody in the book in most Baptist churches is going to talk about you being legalistic. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to give you a couple of points here. To be born again, to be converted, is to be saved, and is the knowledge of His Lordship, and to submit to His Lordship personally. The act of believing in Christ is more than something you do with your mouth and your mind. It's something you do with your affections and your will. I love the Lord. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe in who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. I promise you, everybody in heaven knows whose throne He's on, and they know that He is the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Anyone submitting daily, that's what we should be doing. Anyone who is saved should be submitting daily, every morning. You know every morning what I got to do? I got to take self off the throne of my life. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, it says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Every morning, the old man has done crawled back up on the throne. And he's got to be removed. And Christ has got to be put on the throne. It's a battle. But daily we submit to Christ. I want to submit to Him hourly. Amen? Well, how about getting to the place that minute by minute we submit to the Lord? I'll tell you why. Two words that people hate is authority and submission. Y'all hear me? People hate authority. And they hate submitting to authority even worse. Psalms 2:12. How about this language? Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are those who take refuge in who? Him. The Lord Jesus. To respond to Christ is to kiss Him in surrender to Him and to His Lordship. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take His yoke. Whatever He's got for you, put it on and wear it. Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation. Look at this now. To all who what? Yeah. Do you obey Him to get Him to save you? No, you obey Him because you are saved. Christian people will know the Word and strive to obey the Word. Forgive your enemies. If you're here at the altar and remember your brother has something to get you, leave your gift here in front of the altar, go get right with your brother. Don't slander people. Don't lust after women. I want to tell you, salvation and lordship will in fact look like submission. It will consist of the production of good works and fruit, James says. Now listen to me. These are the statements I want you to hear. We do not do any of these things to get Him to come to earth and die. Listen to me. I don't care what you do with Him. I really do. But I don't care what you think about what He did. But I want you to know it is a historical fact that He left heaven, came to earth in the flesh, lived a perfect life, kept the commands fully, died on the cross for our sins, was in the tomb 3 days, and was resurrected. You don't have to do nothing to get Him to do that. He did that because that's what Christ or what God sent Him to do. He came here to seek and to save that which was lost. We don't have to do any of this to get Him to save us. We do this submission because we're born again, and born again people will have no problem in submitting to the lordship of Christ. A saved person will be thrilled to say to anybody, Caesar. The person that you work next door to at work, or side by side that know who you are, your family that knows who you are, a saved person will have no problem saying, you are my Lord and my God. What did He say? We're going to look at it pretty quick here, Matthew 16. What did He say? Peter, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So let me ask you, what have you done with Christ? You have knowledge of Him. You even believe He lived a perfect life, suffered a cruel death, was buried, resurrected, and returned to heaven, is reigning from there, and soon He's coming again. You really believe that. But let me ask you, have you given your life to Him? Here it is, Lord. Not mine anymore. Here it is, Lord. Romans 12:1-2 in closing. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, if you're saved, He's been good to you, and He's been merciful for you, and He's been merciful to me, and He's snatched us up out of the mire and the muck and put us on solid ground. He's given us a belief and faith in Christ. Now that He's done that, what's the reasonable thing for me and you to do? Here it is. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's it. Have to do that to be saved? Will you do that if you are saved? Because what's the Scripture says? That's the reasonable thing to do. Now, it gets good. There's great promises with that. to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God. Look at this. This is your true and proper worship. So, on a daily basis, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God. That's really true worship. Now, you want to know why we have a problem worshiping on Sunday morning? Because all week long we haven't worshiped God Almighty, the King of Glory, and all of a sudden we come on Sunday morning and think we'll just flip that switch on. You want to sing? Won't your kids see you singing? You want to sing like you love the Lord? You hadn't had time for Him all week. You haven't submitted yourself to Him all week. You hadn't all week long told Him that you loved Him. All of a sudden, you're going to flip the switch on? All of a sudden, you're going to get to heaven? Never worshiped Him here? Never bowed down to Him? Didn't live for Him? All of a sudden, you're going to get there, flip the switch on? It's all different. That's smoke dreams. That's fantasies. And I'm feared America is full of that. And the church is full of that. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now you do that, I want you to look at this promise. Wow, I love this. You teenagers, you want to know God's purpose and direction for you in the future? You want to know the plans God has for you? Listen to this. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for you. And listen, when you do that, you'll know that His will for you is good and pleasing and perfect. But wait a second. When do we find that out? After we've offered our bodies, okay? You know what that means? After we've offered every smidgen bit of me, mind, body, soul, will, after we've offered it to Him, then we find out what He wants us to do and how good and pleasing and perfect it'll be. Any wonder why people, especially our young people, are floundering around in the wilderness and in the dark? Because they're seeking after answers for their life everywhere except in Christ. I love you guys so much. And I love you so much that, listen to me, I'm telling you, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Listen, there are many people leaving here every day living on the wide path that are going to hell. Death is coming. Preparation for death is now. The letter I got from prison, and it wasn't anybody you guys know. I heard what you always hear. My grandma died last week, and I didn't go to the funeral. But I know she's in a better place. Now, I pray she is. But you know, to America, it doesn't matter whether that person was living for God or not. Everybody's going to heaven. I just want to tell you, that's absolutely contrary to Scripture. I love you enough to tell you we're all going to die. Perhaps before next week when we assemble here, one of us will no longer be here. Preparation for death's got to happen while you're living. So you got to know you're going to die to get ready to die. Amen? You're going to be put in the grave. One of these days you'll be resurrected. Those who believe in Christ, they're going to go before Christ in judgment for their rewards. Those that do not know Christ, they're going to go before Christ for their reward. Eternal punishment. Heaven for those who know Christ and live for Christ and are saved people. Eternity in heaven. New heaven and new earth. Better than even the Garden of Eden. Because no sin will be a possibility there. It's going to happen. I pray that you're prepared. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter if it's me or Tom or anybody else in here. If you can't go to bed at night thinking about death, come on now. If you can't go to bed at night thinking about death and having a confidence, not in this, that God's good and He's going to send everybody to heaven, but you have confidence in your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can go to bed with confidence, I want to tell you, I've got time, Tom's got time to talk to you. You've got to be prepared. We just read, was it this morning, about the virgins? 10 of them. 5 were prepared and 5 weren't. They all got a little drowsy. All 10 of them. They all got a little drowsy waiting. 5 of them woke up, though, and they didn't have to go nowhere. They were ready. The other woke up. Hup, we don't have what we need. And they went and came back, and the door was shut. You got to knock on the door and go through the door in this life. And John 10:9 says, I'm the Christ, the Son of the Sea. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The only way to eternity is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Tom.